Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Soul and Black Show. Tonight we're going to have a little open mic dealing with this and that, whatever is going to be on your mind. Say what you have to say, what's on your heart. We're going to kick it back, possibly a sister of ours, Sister V. She was on the last show that we did, and there was quite a few people who were requesting to talk with her and listen to her perspective, so she may bless us on the microphone tonight. She'll call in. We'll see how that goes. But I got my co-host, Alan. How you doing, Alan? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, just watching this Bulls game while we on the show, cussing in my TV. But I keep that in the background.
Okay, you cussing. You watching the Bulls game, huh? That's what's
yeah,
up.
You know.
You know, it was some crazy stuff that happened this week. I don't know if you guys are aware of what's going on, but there's a story that really piqued my interest now, okay, that blew me away. The Black Panthers have set up a paramilitary firearms organization. They said all people of color who want to bear arms can come over and join their group. You know what I mean? So this is what's crazy now. The new Black Panther Party now is out on here trying to get this done. I have not, you know, did not. Now I don't know what's going on in Texas, but that's what's happening. That's where they're at. They're out in Texas. So I'm sitting back and I'm just like, what in the world is going on? I guess we're gonna have to get back to patrolling the streets, which they were doing too. By the way, they were patrolling a neighborhood armed. This goes back to the old Black Panthers, a little bit back of the old, even though we're in the new. They're putting arms back in the street. Now, I hope that they're going to go ahead and do something, like shut some of this activity down in the communities. They don't want to have the cops come in there. Then, okay, if we're going to put these guys in there with arms on, then let's go ahead and make sure that we crack down on some of that internal crime that's going on, okay? Hopefully they're not going to be the kind of brothers who are going to look the other way. You know what I mean? Despite, you know, their current position of trying to help out. Now, I don't know about other people, but this has been blowing me away, how these things are starting to get, it's starting to get real nasty outside. It's starting to get nasty outside because of the people starting to bring arms back out there. They're getting serious about this. It's getting pretty bad. The murder rates around the country right now are just ridiculous. I mean, we're talking about ridiculous murder rates now. I mean, I'm kind of surprised. It seems like they're having a race to see who can get more bodies in chalk lines, you know what I mean? Or in body bags. I mean, you go around various different urban cities, man, it's like, what is going on? Calm down, you guys. You know, it's not necessary to pop out people. And there's a lot of gunshots going on. And I'm an advocate for guns. I think you should carry something. I think you should be able to protect yourself. Because, hey, now I'm not saying I'm not advocate for all the other type of activities, but I'm definitely advocate for you carrying and bearing arms. Because, it's getting kind of rough outside. Now, last night, what's up there, guys? Some of the people in the chat room, what's going on with you? Last night I happened to be, I was fortunate to be on the Charles Tyler show. I came on there, hung out, and there was this particular encounter with this lady who called in. And I'm sure my co-host wants to say some things about this because
yeah.
I mean, come on. I was trying to address the things in a manner that needed to be addressed. But I still hold my position. I'm gonna stand. I'm an alpha male in that regard. So I don't. Yeah, I mean, I can understand and I can take a compliment. It's not like nobody can take a compliment. We need to understand certain things. We're standing in a position as black men, and we're holding our line as representatives of black men. And, you know, it's okay for a sister to be strong. But when a brother comes out and just be representing real hard and rough about it, just holding this position, stern, if you will, it becomes an issue. You know what I mean? And, you know, this lady wanted me to get off the phone. I was like, are you kidding me? And it was one occasion where she kept cutting in on Charles. I didn't say anything on the show, but I was just like, man, it was one time she just kept cutting you off, man. She's like, can I talk? I was like, wait a minute. You cutting him off. But it was quite an event last night. That was kind of funny. That was one of the moments, I would say, of the highlights of the show, I guess you'd say, one of the highlights. Had me cracking up. I was just bewildered to a certain degree about this woman. In her behavior, but she did sound like she was trying to be a businesswoman. But trying to be good is a different story than actually being good. You know what I'm saying? And she also had to get her plug-ins about, you know, the Nigerian men. They're looking for black women and all of this stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. So there you go, sisters. Get ghosts. But my whole thing is, from what I've seen, you know, they're very picky, man. They're very, very picky, very, very selective, and not necessarily in a good way. But it's like, okay, mm-hmm. You guys are not going to entertain. I've always wondered about that because black women have always said that there's issues. Obviously, there's a shortage of men. Okay. Here's my thing then. Okay, if you know that, then how come, if you guys are so awesome and everything, what's the problem with you guys being with foreign men? Well, as I've noticed, their behaviors is what is the obstacle. Now, maybe they can do the flip-flop switch because I see some of them do that when they go out with a white dude. It's kind of funny. It's like, what in the world? She is so tall. I mean, she's so tame and docile and just cool with everything. What, huh? What's going on? You know what I mean? Sometimes it's funny, though. I'm not saying, you know, maybe the dude's doing it. I don't know. I mean, he may be handling his business. I remember one of the comedians, he was talking about, you know, when he was having relations with his wife, and she called him the N-word, he goes, I knew it. What did he think? One of these days, I'm going to get it. But I don't know, man. Last night, Alan, I was on this show, and you heard, I guess, obviously the show. So what was your take on this, man? Because I was cracking up over that. That had me... Have me
on them. I mean, my take, contrary to popular belief, you know, every dude has their limit, and I'm sitting here driving, listening. That is a dude I drive around a lot. You know, he's a black man. He owns a coffee shop around here. You know, Harlem Cat, actually. And I'm sitting here listening to this on my headphones because I don't have an aux cord in my Taurus. So I'm sitting here, like, constantly saying, this B, like, what the hell? And all this stuff. And he's looking at me like, you know, like I'm crazy. Because, you know, I'm not intending that he's in the back because I drive him around all the time. And, yeah, it was just – so here's the thing. Yeah, see, I'm not going to write her off. And it's important not to write somebody off is, like, every sister says something that we don't agree with as some kind of agent. I think dudes need to be balanced in the sense to really say, who am I talking to? What is the intent behind the message? Is the intent genuine? And maybe it's just the way she's communicating it's not right. And if the intent is genuine, if I can feel that, then, yeah, I'm going to engage. But the problem with her is she didn't want to engage. She wanted to basically lecture us. And the difference between, you know, lecturing and having really having an honest, you know, back and forth conversation in which we can both learn from each other and grow is every time somebody wanted to say something, she wanted to play the victim card or she – and not necessarily saying that she was a victim, but just in how she responded or reacted – or she wanted to get frustrated. And so here's black once, you know, here's the thing. Black women are very, look, they're very good at playing the two-faced game, the two-side game. They're extremely good at it. And any black woman that says they're not, they're lying because that's what they do when they deal with each other. They'll smile when they're in each other's face. And then, exactly. All you need to know is look at how they interact with each other and not even how they interact with dudes, and that's generally what they do. And they all have it to a degree. It's just a matter of is it crazy or is it out of control. So basically when she realized you all wasn't going to do what she said or just say, okay, that's a good point, and blah, 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 she started getting mad and get animated. So she basically started to exhibit the behaviors that we were talking about and that she was saying was petty. During the course of the conversation, she was literally proving the point that people have been saying literally before people's eyes over the phone. And this is a sister that actually I would think, say she sounded older, like maybe she's in her, you know, mid-40s. She sounded like a sister, so it's like church type, you know. You know, like where she wants to be moderate about everything, but, you know, once it got down to brass tacks and the cursing started, because that's one thing I noticed too, she started cursing before anybody else. You know,
real
talk.
I was, I was like, man, what the heck?
These are things that people pick up on. Like, you know, and she said, why did you have me? Damn. And I'm like, I'm meeting a real person that doesn't want to give their name. Like, we're going to know who that is. That wants to call on a Skype call. So we don't even know what area she's calling from. So we can't even get some kind of inclination of where she's coming from. So.
I mean, listen, I don't have any problems with somebody having their anonymity. If they want to keep their anonymity, that's on them. I'm not tripping on that. But,
I mean, that's cool, but that's a still a flag.
You know what I mean? You know, because, you know, you have the right to keep silent, so to speak. So don't say nothing. If you don't want to say nothing about that, don't say nothing. Okay, that's fine. But if you're going to come out there, own up to it to a certain degree. You know what I mean? You know, don't leave yourself, you know, you're not unchained. People know me as Soul in Black in other ways. They know my name and other things. But you're still going to have to own up to something eventually. I mean, if you're going to come out like that. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to come out like that, you got to own up to stuff. That's what I like. I like people to own up to this stuff. But I'm not mad at them if they want to keep their anonymity because I know out here in the internet world, the social media world, it can get a little nasty. Next thing you find yourself on TMZ talking about what the
and that's a small little knock, but it's, you know, like I said, nobody knows who she is. It's fine. I mean, people call
a world star.
But the thing is the point is too many people are talking at. I mean, she has some good points. I mean, she has points that we've made. She has points that you have said, that I have said, that even Charles has said. Like she said it in. Like, for instance, the point that she said about the pettiness, are there petty brothers out there? Yes, there are petty brothers out there. But, see, there's a difference between trying to help brothers saying that it's just petty. See, here's the problem. The problem is you can tell she wasn't. She doesn't listen to the show. You can tell she doesn't listen to a lot of the shows that he's done.
That was quite evident.
And I wish I was on the phone because I understand everything is 2020 in hindsight. But you know, one thing I would have pointed that out. Like that's the main thing I would have pointed out because. She does, and it's not to say, oh, you don't know me, because that's what women say. It's the point is you don't understand what our mission is and what we're trying to do. So you think this show is just basically people doing a pity party, and it's like somebody just came. It's literally what a woman would think about the show if she just started listening to the show for the first time and just heard it and doesn't know any of the background or any of the dudes. She doesn't know John Thompson and Charles Met once he got down there. That's been down there 30 years. Because, see, the reality is when she first asked that first question about I hope you – and the way she said, oh, well, I hope you all are, you know, doing the connections and stuff. She basically did that to try to delegitimize, you know, the whole show because she wanted to basically – somebody to say, oh, no, we're not doing that. Oh, so these are a bunch of niggas that just talking shit for no reason. That's a posture.
She got surprised by that because we're already on that. We definitely on that.
It's kind of, at the end of the day, it was kind of like, and then when she started saying, like, what somebody should think, I was like, did you not read the title of the show? What did you think people were going to talk about? So the reality is you don't have to live, because at the end of the day, and I know, Charles, we like when female callers, so we elongate it more than we should. But the reality is, at the end of the day, if you don't like to listen to it, it's honestly not for you. Now, you're welcome to listen to it. Maybe you'll learn something, gather insight into this is how they feel. Because, I mean, as a dude, even though it gets on my nerves to listen to women in their echo chamber, I like to know what I'm up against. I like to know the factors, and I like to hear it from their mouth. But exactly. To be like, oh, exactly. I just don't want to hear that. I'm like, this ain't church where you can vote. You don't listen. What are you talking about? And end of the day, and she said she had brothers too. And she's like, I got brothers. Well, obviously, I'm not going to talk about her family, but the reality is if these dudes ain't bitch made, which she sounds like, I could assume they're not. The reality is you're not going to, when men are talking, and it's the same thing when women are talking, because everybody wants to always play that card. If a dude is going in where a group of women are talking, they're having a conversation, you don't agree with it. A dude knows that if you go counter to that, you know you got to get fired. Because it's like, who is you? But dudes, we know that going in, and we accept that if we feel like we need to say something just so it can be said. If we're, you know, we just butt in the conversation, you know how it is with family. But women think that if dudes are talking, and we're talking about whatever we're talking about, this could be sports, it could be anything, that if any woman just comes in there and just says what they got to say, they have the right to pretty much take over the conversation. And what a lot of black women don't understand is there's another group of people that have this mentality. You know who those group? You know what that group is? White men have that mentality. They believe that they can just take over stuff. And black women have the same mentality. That's one of the big differences between black women and black men and black women. I mean, white women. White women, they're not going to approach dudes like black men like that. They have this fear, and it does work to our detriment sometimes. Like you talk about in the school system, white female teachers, in my opinion, can't handle young boys, black boys, and that's why they get suspended all the time. So that's the negative end on it. But the positive end on it is a white woman is typically not going to come at a black man out of pocket. They have this kind of barrier that, like, that's a black man. I know what that person can do to me. Black women don't have that filter. They have this belief that they can just come at us like any dude can come at us. And it's like they literally don't have that filter anymore, and that was an example of what she did. The way that conversation was handled was just a perfect example of that, and the fact that she literally could not see it. She was like a 2D character looking into 3D vision. She could not understand that as she was talking. It was funny to me and very fascinating.
It was kind of hysterical to me. It was
you
just like,
video
oh,
one. You should take the clip and do one of your videos because it's actually a perfect example to go in that collection.
Oh, I know, huh? The point that you guys want me to do the slam down. I just went, man, because she's a trip, man. It's good to me. So, it's something about sometimes when I'm talking, how I'm talking or the way I carry it. Somehow it irks them. Somehow enough that whatever's there is going to pop loose. It seems like that. It's so weird sometimes because it's like,
when they
okay.
hear alpha males talking, they receive. The thing that people don't understand is when women detect that there's no bitch in the dude, that's when they start going into different tactics, like the animation, the getting loud, the one, you know, how
cursing
they work
you
in
out.
The household. Yes, and I've seen this. And you know, as how, you know, you want to call the police, call a referee, because you know what's going to happen. Or you, even if a dude hasn't done anything and we're having an argument, nobody's put their hands on each other, then you will have an argument. A woman will put their hands on you first because they want to get it going, so they call the police. See, women do this subconsciously now, and they don't really understand it. When I say women, for the layman, I mean enough women to where the momentum is shifting in the wrong direction. I am
That's
the first
right.
one to say that all black women don't do this. That's another thing. She was trying to build credibility. I got brothers. I'm doing this. You know, we need to be better as a people. Well, we will not get better as a people unless we address these issues. We will not address these issues until we talk to each other rather than at each other. Stop talking at each other. And she was doing the same thing.
We're not talking now. I mean, it's not like we're not talking about this no more. But this is what we were trying to explain to her, because I was like, listen, right now brothers ain't trying to talk about nothing right now. Brothers are trying to handle their business, and so it's not about talking anymore.
Yeah, and that's what she was trying to say. Y'all need to just do. Well, we know that. That's why I was waiting for you to say something about the wall of silence. But like I said, she kind of caught people off guard with that kind of nicey, you know, grandma, you know, big mama thing, and then she just switched it up, like, real quick. But she does, and again, she doesn't know about the show. She doesn't know about the show, the video, the history. Like, I've listened to almost all your videos that don't have to do with the Hebrew religion stuff, because that's just not my speed, and that's not my speed. But I've listened to the other stuff, and I've listened to, at least 15 of Charles's previous shows. This is before I started listening to Week to Week. So I have a good grasp as to what he's trying to do, what he's been doing, as well as his YouTube channel. She didn't, and not to say everybody has to do that, but it's kind of like, you know, I just don't want to hear this. Well, who are you? Who is you? This ain't your show.
The funny thing about it. The funny thing about it is, it's like, you know, I can understand. We already know that there's not a lot. We know that not all sisters are doing it. We've said this 50 million times. I don't know how many times we have to keep qualifying it. We're like, we know that already. We admit the minority.
That's the way they control us, though, by trying to, it's kind of like.
They're not going to get control. Yeah. I wasn't letting the control go. I can acknowledge the truth, because it is true. But I'm like, other than that, don't take it further than that. And they do like to try to walk the plank and see what they can do about it, because I call it walking the plank, because you're messing with an alpha, you're going to go right on out off the ship. That's what you're going to do.
and the thing is, she never addressed, you notice she never addressed anything you said. She turned it into a back and forth. And a lot of times, the way I approach it, is this. Because here's the thing. I'm a shorter individual. So the stereotypes around shorter men, especially black men, we're going to get animated off gates. Yeah.
Hold on now, Alan, 1 second. I got to cut you. I hate to do that. But seems like
Sister
V's online. Yeah, we got Sister V on the line. So we're going to bring her in. Hello, everybody. This is our Sister V. She's going to come on in here. We're going to get back into conversating about what we're conversating about. Let's get it in. All right, Sister V, you're online.
Hello, everyone.
What's going on, sis?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing splendid. So what did I miss? Was there any foolishness that I missed?
We need you to handle somebody.
Really? Give me the recap, please. Oh, I love it when men handle things.
Okay, so
better than me handling it. But go ahead.
I was another woman.
Yeah, it was another woman. So it was. I was in the Charles Tyler show. I came on that night and worked with my man on the show, and was working, helping out the brothers and trying to assist. You know what I mean? Just do what we do. And there was a lady came on the call, and she came off like, at first she seemed like a really good sister, but then, after conversating with her a little bit, dialoguing, something else came out. She started using explorative and everything. I was like, what?
Oh, so Medusa came out, tried to turn y'all into stone, huh?
Yeah, Jezebel, or what's the other one? Samson,
the evil big
Delilah. Delilah showed up. I was like, oh, shoot. What happened, yo? You got to watch out for them Delilahs, man. I'm telling you, they're all around. They're all around, man.
Don't blame the animals for that.
Not the koalas. I'm not talking about koalas.
They missed the eucalyptus mint. They missed the eucalyptus dose.
I'm talking about Delilah. Delilah.
Oh, Delilah. I thought you said koala. I'm like,
Delilah.
I'm like, what?
Man, I haven't seen enough of them, man. I'm like, golly, they're plentiful out here, yo.
So, basically, it was one thing, and
we were talking, one of her things was she was trying to, you know, she basically was trying to bogart, to a certain degree, the conversation. It was noticeably something she was overly aggressive and assertive in the conversation. And not only that, she got to the point where she was doing a, what do we call it? Soft shoe emasculation, if you call it that. It's like a form of...
Give me an example. What is soft shoe emasculation? Because I don't see anything soft about it.
Well, what she was doing was she was basically trying to critique or analyze and see if we were on point with networking and developing business contacts and things like that overseas.
One of those. Do you know what you're doing? Do you have your degree? Have you been to school? Are you educated? No,
she wasn't that far. She didn't go in there. But she wanted to see if we were really doing this to, like, set up some kind of black empowerment, some kind of community networking, something like that, other than just going down there, having a vacation, and, of course, seeing the ladies and getting married or whatever the case may be. And then the other thing was she wanted to try to curb us from our dialogue about the certain aspects about black women that we don't appreciate and that we brought up and made clear, and this is one of the reasons why such and such is going on. Of course, clarifying some other things about traveling. So, but she wanted us to curb our conversation. Don't talk about why you guys gotta, you know, don't bring that energy. You know what I mean? Just go ahead and talk about, you know, this and that, because she was tired of hearing certain things that were being discussed about a lot of the modern American black women.
So here's my question: has she been outside of the country?
She said she had. I think one of the brothers brought that up eventually.
Mexico don't count. Neither does Canada. Has she been to Europe? Has she been to Russia? Has she been to... You see what I mean? See, this is what I find about black women.
Hold on, I need to cut you off, but I want you to get this information too. So can you tell about what she said with the Nigerians?
Oh, yeah, that the Nigerians can never... Yeah, he can never say anything, look or speak anything bad about the black woman because, you know, he loves the black woman and Nigerian men are looking for black women, American women, and all this stuff. And I'm like, I mean,
Nigeria is a war zone.
Well, some of it is. I mean, it's
some of it is. It's
yeah, you
got to
be like, it's you got to be Nigeria's. It's doing somewhat well, but it's also got some other things going on too. Like
it's got a lot of things going on. It's not exactly what I would say a place of, you know, you can just go up in there and do what
they
want to do, like versus visiting other countries. It's not actually a lot of Africa is in turmoil.
Yeah, some form of turmoil.
A lot of Africa, that whole continent's in turmoil. So to me, it's kind of...
It's a hot zone as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to bring that up considering that, well, these men are looking for wives because they're caught up in these wars and they're trying to have kids. So when they die, they're not childless. Like, okay, that's an attribute? No, what they're trying to do is come over here or go to America.
Yeah, what she was trying to do is say, you know, the big thing she was trying to do is like, you know how if you're talking to your kids, how you're really trying to explain something to them, but you're not really just trying to go all out.
That kind of passive-aggressive insult. Yeah, of course.
You ask questions, then you lecture. That's what she did. And then the Nigerian thing was she was not basically saying for us to come to Nigeria. She was basically trying to say, okay, just like you all are trying to go to Brazil, and you all should go, by the way. And she, I think she was sincere in that. She was saying how, well, you got to understand, African, the Nigerian man wants the African-American woman. And then Charles asked the question about, well, what about African men in general, like as far as going to Nigeria? And she was like, no, they just want the woman. Kind of like saying, I'll see you in Brazil and raise you.
That's not true. Where is she getting that information from?
Because I know I went out with a Nigerian sister, and that wasn't
like
a problem.
Okay, there's a lot of Nigerians and people from the Sudan in Washington, D.C. and in Virginia, and I don't see them with American black women at all. I didn't see them in New York. I didn't see them in New Orleans either.
Nope, I didn't either.
So what are you talking about?
Here in the Mid-Atlantic?
Here's the thing. First of all, this is what I am – see, this is a bullshit feminism again. Please, Jesus, help me. Why do we always have to sit – first of all, excuse my language. What the fuck does that have to do with what's wrong with you? You want to bring up everybody else of what they're wanting and what they're doing, but what are you doing to change to make things better? Your men are sitting here telling you, hey, look, this is what's going on. This is what we're seeing. Can we discuss that so we could come to a resolution? Why do you always have to bring up next man? What does a Nigerian do got to do with what you have to do? Who cares if they want you? What difference does it make? To quote Hillary Clinton.
The quote was, I don't want to hear any of that shit.
Well, you know what? You're going to hear it. And you know what? There's other black women that are tired of this bullshit, too. And let me guess, I'm pretty sure she has a fucking degree in master's of business and don't even have a business yet. Man, shut up.
Yeah, we'll get you the clip. We'll get you a clip because I really want you to hear the clip.
I just can't stand this. And you know what? I'm tired of the stupid pro-black movement, too, because y'all ain't doing shit in your own neighborhood. All you do is
Wait a minute. New news came out. Hold on. I got to get you up to speed real quick.
Oh, he's on this black fan. Oh, man.
Oh, here God, go. What?
The new Black Panther Party went walking around in the Texas neighborhood armed. They're setting up a paramilitary organization for gun use and permits and so on and so forth.
You do realize that's horrible, right?
This is crazy right now. This is new. This is fresh out the
Are
wire.
You serious?
I was like, check it out.
Where in Texas? Yeah. Where?
Dallas. Looks like Dallas. Yep.
Bye, Felicia.
Out in Dallas, man, they're walking around.
They're not doing it in Baltimore. They're not doing it in Compton. They're not doing it in South Central L.A. They're not doing it in Harlem. You picked Dallas.
Hey.
And Dallas has had a black mayor, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
but,
I think they do now, yes.
Yeah.
Actually,
so
they've had a couple as far as I know.
Which is interesting because they are, you know, that is an area. I mean, I understand black people in Dallas, but that's not the type. You know, I'm always interested when you have the politicians that it's not that majority black when they have black mayors and stuff. Like, I think Denver was there, too, although it's low-key a lot of black people in Denver.
Yeah, and they're not majority black, but they have black mayors, yes.
I always find that a lot more impressive. So my point is you pick that area.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the area where they got the kid for the Indian kid for the bomb because he made a clock.
Yeah.
That's the area. So you know they'll jump if they get scared. I mean, my point is this. The thing about the Black Panther Party, I understand. It was my birthday on Tuesday. I turned 29. But I'm
happy
still
birthday.
Hey, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Appreciate it. But I'm still young in the sense that I don't know a lot about the Black Panther Party in the sense that I lived it. But from what I'm to understand, a big issue as far as what people, African Americans, looking back as to what the Black Panther did wrong, because they did things right too. When it comes to taking up arms, you got to understand, look at what these cops are doing now, and people aren't having guns. You give them a gun. We don't have. There's not a conversation if there's a gun on you, what a cop shot.
Especially if you're coming at them in a militant, hateful fashion. Absolutely not.
They got license to kill on that.
Yeah, because you're coming at him, I hate white people, we need to kill their babies. Well, then the cops going to be like, these niggas are coming to kill our babies then. Mm-hmm. What do you think they're going to do?
All of us. And that, even, like, that will cause them, like, here's the thing, and I'm not trying to be racial, but what I find, when Caucasians, in, it's the same thing when, like, a lot of black women, when you don't do what they say, they get into this mode. When Caucasians are threatened, they become very, a lot of times, they become very dangerous. So when you're dealing with a cop, that's probably, if I get stopped with a cop, I make sure I'm calm. Because I understand what my rights are. I understand
mm-hmm,
all of that.
Yeah.
But that don't matter at the end of the day, because that cop's word is worth like 100 times of my stuff. Unless
can
I have
say
a camera
something?
Which
I never
can
had a problem
some.
With the cop. As a matter of fact, I had a visit with a cop today. I had a visit with a cop today. They got the wrong address. I opened the door. They were banging on the door. It was somebody that was fighting. And unfortunately, my apartment, we had like a little monsoon, whatever, and the wind blew they were fixing the lights, and they didn't put my apartment sign back up with my number on it, so it blew away. So they put a blank space and just wrote 3005 on it. It was ghetto. And so, of course, it's worn off. And so they're knocking on the door, and it was like at 9:30 this morning, and they're like, have you been fighting? And I'm like, somebody called and said you were fighting. No, I just got out of bed because I heard you knocking. And then my stepdaughter, she was in the kitchen, and they're like, the male cop was like, how old are you? She's like 15. Can I talk to you? And she looked at me. I said, go ahead and talk to him. And then they figured out, oh, shit, we got the wrong apartment. It was 3010 because our apartments are set up really weird. There's 1010 on the first floor, 2010 on the second floor, so they thought 3010, third floor. I said, nope, that's behind us. And they were like, oh, my God, we're sorry. And that's it. That's it.
Like, that's in Arizona, right?
That's it, you know. And even when cops were called because my stepdaughter – was getting disciplined. And what I mean by discipline, my husband and I, we're former Marines, so she was doing PT, kips, push-ups, stuff like that. Yeah, we were hard on her. She was crying. So somebody called
the
cops.
She's like, can I just take the butt whooping? Like,
yeah, oh, no. Like, she was begging for an ass whipping. Nope. 50 push-ups, right? So two female cops show up and knocked on the door, hey, what's going on? And she and my stepdaughter was crying, like, you know how they cry. And I was like, we're giving her Marine Corps PT because she decided to run away from home and she's learning her lesson. Tell me why the white female cop, both of them white, the dark-haired one said, carry on. And then she's like, I'm out. And then she turns back to Desiree and goes, listen to your parents. Carry on. Do what you got to do. And they left.
And I will say this, like, stuff like that can, you know, nobody, here's the thing a lot of people don't understand and get lost in this conversation with police brutality. African Americans want to believe that we can go to the cops. You know, I don't care what they say. When there's a domestic issue, I know women call the police. You know, it is like,
that's
oh,
what
we don't call the cops.
You hate the police. But you calling, that's the first people you call when you want to get something done. Getting dudes up on child support, getting dudes up on, they're the first ones to call if you want to send him to jail. So
not
to me, that's
not the family members, you know, the police.
Yeah.
But we want to believe the cops are good people, and most of the interactions I've had with the police are very good, most of them. And the ones that I see as unfavorable is not like the social media worthy stuff by no means. But the thing is, I do want to say is there are some cops that are out of pocket. And here's the problem with the police in general. The police is really, it's like a fraternity. That's why I call it Fraternal Order of Police, like a union organization.
Right, exactly.
And they close, and when cops do bad, they close ranks. And they're kind of like our version of the CIA or the
right,
they close
right,
ranks.
Right, right, right.
So unless you have money, you know, you can't have a lawyer that can navigate through that and say, hey, you know, I'm not going to get real justice.
But see, the thing is,
how
you're bringing it up, though, that is without any regard to race, because it happens in all police departments. Because I'm going to tell you something. They'll cover a black cop doing dirt before they'll cover a civilian doing dirt. he's part of the fraternal order. It is an order. You guys need to understand that
it, will, it
is an order.
But I will say this. It depends. If it's a black cop and on color, then, yeah, they might close. Right. At that point, it depends on the type of cop it is. Like, that cop is good in with them and not, like, a rebel rouser.
Right.
But if it's, like, a white, like, if it's a black cop versus a white woman, I don't care. They're going to deal with it. And you don't see that most of the time because intrinsically the black cops know they can't go that route. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So those issues rarely come up. And that's just, like, for instance, I'll give you a perfect example. It happens white people to a certain extent. There's a show on Netflix called Hackers, and it pretty much talks about the war on hacking, like the Snowdens and a lot of stuff Anonymous and Sun. And the FBI goes after a lot of these Caucasians, these coders, just as hard as you would think they go after African Americans. Like, when the way they bend the rules and stuff, so they
oh man, they go after them hackers hard. Like,
yeah,
they talked about Kevin Mitnick. They threw that fool in jail for 3 years, no trial, nothing.
So and they put him in the shoe. They put him in the shoe. So now they do, in my opinion, do it worse to African Americans. But it's not like it's a black and white thing where they don't do it at all.
Right. And that's what they try to make it sound like, but. Back to this woman trying to be all passive aggressive, asking you, "Are you really serious?" And I said, "Did you guys happen to ask her what has she done?" And second of all, why does it have to be? Here's my thing, and I know a lot of black people are going to be upset with me for saying this, but I am beyond this race bullshit. Do not sit here and ask me what I have done for black people. Stop it, because I'm not doing it for you. I'm not doing anything for you. At first and foremost, I'm doing it for the Father. At the end of the day, my Father will judge me for what I've done for him. If I am being kind and fair to someone, I'm doing it for him. If I am judging someone, or not judging, but correcting them, it is for him because that is the law. See, we got this problem where we want to mix race with God, and we can't do that.
Yeah, well,
stop
anyways.
It. You know, it's ridiculous.
Let me say something. One of the chatters had put something in the chat room, and they were talking about something we were talking about Africa. China is still building around the area out in Nigeria, I believe is what they were referring to. Yeah, there's still going to be building going on out there. That's to be expected. I mean,
right.
there's commerce to be made. Let's put it this way. Despite the wars and the battles or whatever may be going on, turmoil of whatever type, business must go on.
Yeah.
The show must go on. So these guys are not fooling around. They're still going to do business. Business people find a way to get it done despite
That's
it.
Right.
They may be the ones even instigating it to a certain degree. Who knows?
Well, yeah, of course. Of course they are. And China has a very a serious reputation from, you know, they talk about America does it. China's been doing it for millennia, instigating wars and building things. They've been doing it forever, like forever. Like Ming Dynasty forever, you know. Like we got Genghis Khan. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, now they're starting to export it a little bit. That's you know.
Yeah, they build like you know the Mongols. Another one. They did the same thing. Like that area is all about making war and make profit. All right. Genghis Khan's like, I'm going to kill everybody unless you join my soldiers. But if you join my army, I'm going to give you this benefit, that benefit. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to hook you up. Okay. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you know, quite frankly, I mean, we could talk forever about what she said. I mean, I wish you would have been on it. I'm going to make sure you get the clip because I want you to hear it. I got a question for you, though. What do you think about the what happened with the girl in South Carolina with that police officer? Especially
I
coming
missed
from a military
it.
Background.
I don't know everything about it because I'm going through stuff right now, but is that the one where the cop threw her down? In the classroom.
Oh yeah, that was pretty. Yeah.
So just to give you a little bit more information on it,
I know what happened. Like, okay, she was supposed to have she had her phone. She wasn't supposed to have her phone out. The teacher asked her. Go ahead.
Well, I mean to cut you off, but here's an interesting thing. Like, it's actually in their policy. They found out that, and I double checked this because most schools don't do this. But they said you actually allowed to have your phone. The problem is she didn't put the phone away quick enough. And then another thing they ended up finding out about the girl is the girl is actually an orphan. She's been in foster care and stuff like that too. So basically, she has issues, and you know, as far as outside the classroom. And they didn't find this out until later on. I've seen this from a variety of different sources that actually ended up checking this out. And, and she just didn't put it away fast enough. And then he ended up, it just escalated to where he just got a resource officer. And it was really a lot like what was on the video. Like, the resource officer asked her to put the phone away and I guess, or get up, and she didn't immediately. And then he just did what he did. And
I have two sides of it. Okay. First of all, we black women give off attitude without opening our mouth, so we already set the stage. Okay? We have a problem as black women throwing out attitude without even opening our mouths. You can see a fuck you coming from us miles away. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you got this white officer coming in asking you to do something. She's already in foster care. She already, and actually, yes, I do remember this, she also has a history of having a bad attitude anyway. So you don't know what that cop was dealing. I'm not saying that he's right. I'm saying that I understand. You don't know what he dealt with before he got called there. You don't know how many times he has been called there, and she has been called for disciplinary actions in that school several times. This is not the first incident. So how do we know that he hasn't dealt with her bullshit and he snapped. Am I saying that he's right? No, I am not saying that he's right, but I agree with his boss. Yeah, dude lost his job, but she is just as responsible for that situation as he is. Here's the problem. They're making... And black women are comfortable with this role. We can't do no wrong. We can have an attitude, talk to people really shitty,
be really rude
to people, and get away with it. And this cop said, fuck you, I'm not letting you get away with it today. I've had enough. This
well,
is
see,
the same
my whole thing.
My whole thing is
about the – because they had the footage out there, and the footage made me mad was I was like, I got the tail end of the footage. It's like I didn't get to see –
They edited it. It looked edited. They didn't show the whole thing. The whole thing
is like,
longer than what you saw.
I need to know the rest of it, man.
But to tell you the truth, it sounds really screwed up, but I don't care at this point. This is kind of karma for us black women. There is going to come a time where men are not going to take your attitude and your bullshit anymore, and they're going to act out. And they're going to act out at a time where everybody's going to see it, and they're going to lash out when you least expect it, because we've been getting away with that attitude for too long. I believe not yet.
Yeah,
oh, this is the start, but not yet.
Which,
because
when we get
the thing
to
is,
watch World Star and knock
yeah,
out.
Well, yeah,
knock
that's
out.
True. And, you know, men
out.
Are get, you know, and this is out to black women.
Get
we don't want
out,
your
man.
Attitude. We don't want, when we say, hey, how you doing, you give us a dirty look all the fucking time. We don't want, hey, can I help you? Excuse me. You guys need to drop that bullshit. It's not cute.
I have one. I have one
you know,
in the store.
And it's coming out. And, yeah, I'm sorry that
store.
She's in foster care, and I'm sorry that she had a hard life, but so did I. I had a hard life.
So what?
I'm not
everybody
going
has
around here
life,
as a black woman doing that.
I mean, yeah, listen. Even it's funny, man, because people seem to forget, you know, there's a lot of people who were like, when they were kids, you know, they grew up. They were in foster care. They were orphans. They were all this other stuff. They got families now, kids, grandkids, all kinds of stuff, living like, you know, they worked hard. They had to come out of some real rough stuff. Everybody acts like, oh, well, I was in a hard, rough situation.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that gives me license to misbehave and act a doggone fool. No, that doesn't. Okay, it doesn't give you license. Now, listen, we can understand your circumstance and situation. We may be able to even empathize about it, but come on, don't
Man,
be pushing it. And
I
they
grew
push
up
it.
With
they
white kids that
time.
Had crack mothers who got degrees now. I grew up with white kids and Hispanic kids where their fathers have raped them, molested
mm-hmm.
them,
mm-hmm.
beat them,
mm-hmm.
and they have businesses. So
quiet
what
is kept,
so man. Different?
Quiet is kept. Quiet is
Why
kept,
is it
man.
So different for us, but because we're black and we're so oppressed, that we get to act out like assholes? When, you know, and I'm tired of this comparing struggle bullshit. I really am. Because, you know, I had a girl from Japan who went to my school, didn't know a lick of English. Everybody made fun of her. It was completely different culture, completely different this and that. Like, she was thrown into the thick of American culture. She was frightened. She was scared. Her name was Manami. I haven't seen her for years, God. But anyway, you know, you mean to tell me that that wasn't a struggle for her? Oh, but because she's Japanese, it ain't as hard as black people. That's not true.
Well,
I'm telling you right now, them Christian Syrians are having a hard time with ISIS right now. You ain't going through that where they coming through your neighborhood talk about convert to Islam or die. You ain't getting that, are you? No.
Hey, listen.
And they chopping niggas' heads off in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Talk about, I will chop your son's head off if you don't come out this house and convert. You're going to tell
sisters.
Me that you being black is harder than that? Really? Stop.
Listen, brothers and sisters. So I wanted to make sure people know that if you guys want to call in, you can call into the Soul and Black Show, 646-716-8527. Okay, it's 646-716-8527. Now, I'm going to take a little break for a second, guys. Let it cool down for a second. And I'm going to play a little music, and then we're going to come on back in here. We got some other things I'm sure we can get into, because this getting kind of, I mean, when we start talking about
I always bring that heat with me, and I'm sorry.
Nah, it's not about the heat. I'm not worried about that. What, me? You must be kidding.
I'm used
to all the heat. No, I'm used to heat, man. That ain't no big deal. I'm not a problem with it. I don't have any problems with it. I'll go in there and deal with it. But we're going to go ahead and put little jams on for a second. I know there's a couple of people later on. I'm going to be trying to do that. If people want to go ahead and try to submit some stuff to me at soulandblack@gmail.com, you can submit your stuff to me, and I'll try to see if I can promote your music or whatever. We'll see if we can do that, because some people have been requesting. I'm trying to set up certain shows. I'm supposed to have Charles Tyler coming on, and we're going to try to schedule it soon because before he takes his trip out to Brazil. And then, of course, I want to try to get him after he comes back from Brazil. That's really what I want to talk to him after he comes back from Brazil.
When is he coming
partner.
Back?
That's to be determined. I don't know, to be honest with you. I'd have to,
MIA
I have to
in Brazil. MIA in that Brazil
here.
Booty. That's what he's MIA.
Well, he got a lady out there, that's for sure. He definitely does have a lady out
yep.
there. So,
lost in the sauce.
Yeah, and he goes
lost
regularly.
Paradise.
She got him coming and going. Boy, he's like, I'm on my way back out again. I'm like, dang, he on the plane going. See you later. You know what I mean? She likes Brazil. She don't want to be in America. She don't like America like that.
Really?
Yeah, and she's a beauty queen, supposedly. So, you know what I mean? I'm like, that's kind of funny. I'm like, well, she ain't trying to leave Brazil. She's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, you know why? Because, you know, I noticed that I got to say this, that you can take your break. I do notice that when beautiful foreign women get over here, they get a lot of flack from our women for no reason. Just
because they're threatened. They're threatened straight up. It's a cat fight, man. Round.
Yeah, like, wow.
They break out the claws. I'm like, yo.
They go
it's
out
like
and do what cats
like
do in heat. They spray everywhere. This is my territory. I'm like, damn. Put your
they
claws
go out
back in.
Catwoman, for real. But we're going to go into some jams. Let's listen to some tracks right here. I'm going to go back to the old West Coast, but they brought it out new. I'm kind of surprised by this. You guys may be tripping, too. Ha 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 ha.
the nigga, bitch, we G's on our own. Back to the bones, we rolling stones. I'm off a bitch, and daddy's home. Cause to the dome, and I'm all alone. With a fine red bone, because we well known.
Yeah, she's tired of that, that pussy. That pussy. We keep it right on acting, don't push me. Don't push me, no. Certified coming to you guys up and down your street.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you guys like that. That was the old school. Yeah, Kavina, man, that's that old school. Man, I couldn't believe they brought that back. I was like, wow, that's the good old stuff. Well, I'm gonna bring Bonnie back on in here, my co-host, so we can go ahead and chit chat. Okay. Oh, I'll cut you guys, sorry about that. I was bringing you guys back on the show again already. No, go back. Go with me to tuck you away. I can tuck you away. You can disappear. No. We back in the show, trying to get things jumping and popping. You know what I mean? We got into some stuff. You know, I felt as though it's like it's time for a little break. You know, and let the people know. You can call in to 646-716-8527 if you wish to do that. We're gonna just get some stuff off the chest. I know there's some things that you wanted to talk about, like Sister V. You got a book. I know you got a book that you've been working
okay,
on.
Okay, I got.
You've been like.
I've been keeping it quiet because it's nowhere near finished, but I will talk about it. Talk about my book. So,
you know what I mean? Because I'm like, you know, what's good, yo? I mean, I'm out here working my behind off, man. I'm like, shoot, man. You know, we both working on our projects, but, Dad, come on, help a brother out. Say something.
I got so many projects. Okay, so I'm writing a book or a series. It'll probably be a series. It'll definitely be a series. And it's dealing with my area of what I would call occult expertise, dealing with angels and demons and the second coming and the millennial reign. And, of course, it will have vampires in it, and it will have, you know, werewolves in it. And this is what inspired me. I'm going to tell you what happened. So, you know, everybody went to this crazy-ass Twilight craze, right? Everybody was like, ah, Twilight, ah, you know. And, you know, I went to see it. I saw all the movies, and I was like, ooh, that's cute. And there's been a lot of movies dealing with vampires and werewolves and stuff like that coming out in recent years. Like, it, you know, but what I noticed is that the only one that was black was Blade, and he was angry, and he killed everybody that got in his way. Like, Blade came out, everybody was,
yeah.
Black people were interested in vampires then. They didn't give a damn about Underworld and Lestat. They, Bram Stoker, who's that?
I heard they're trying to bring Blade back, too.
Blade actually
Blade
had a series.
Look, man, Blade is dope.
Blade had a series on
say.
TV, and it was played by the dude who played Blade was Sticky Fingers from Onyx. It was actually decent. It was short-lived, but it was decent. But you can't keep having angry black men slicing up people.
Nah, Blade, look, man, Blade is my man, yo. I don't care what nobody said. Blade is my man. He's like,
I
if
know,
I'm bringing
right?
somebody, you bring somebody on your team, I'm like, I'm bringing Blade, yo. He comes with
right?
me.
Right? Like, you know,
Blade,
I
yo.
Got two people that I would bring with me during the zombie apocalypse, Blade and Michonne, okay?
Michonne, you know, go ahead and see. I'm bringing
but,
Blade.
So... I began to think, it's like, where do they get these from? Why are they putting these out there? Why is there always a vampire story, a werewolf story, or somebody extra human that's always overpowering or manipulating human beings? And where did he get this from? But every time they put a movie out about angels, they make angels look like a bunch of bitches. The vampire's a badass. The werewolf's a badass, but when it comes to the angelic beings, they make them look weak and confused and defiant, and I'm just like, we need to correct this. So I started writing a book. It's called The Awakening, and basically what it's about a group of angels that after the fall of the sons of God that went with women, because they decided to mess up our knowledge and bring it to mankind, according to the book of Enoch, these angels decided that they would sacrifice their angelic status in order to correct the teachings of the order of Melchizedek.
So you're trying to do a fictitious version of the order, huh?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
You come from a more spicy kind of approach, huh?
Yes, absolutely. And what these angels decide to do, they're like, well, they came down there and messed it up, so who's going to go down there and keep it balanced? So there will be 9 angelic hosts that have decided that we will become human. They have certain rules. They cannot access their angelic power. They cannot, if they choose to marry, they cannot marry humans. They can only marry another angel in the flesh. And, of course, when they die, they don't really die. They just step out of their body and go into another one, which is where the concept of reincarnation came from. So I'm putting all of this in there. This will be dealing with the New World Order. This will be dealing with, you know, viruses, bioweaponry. I'm throwing a lot of things in there. But my whole purpose is to put a fictitious account that straightens out a lot of the lies that we have in our minds concerning spirituality, concerning how God works, how angels work, how the world works, and it all centers around the order of Melchizedek, which was an angelic order before it was a flesh order.
Hey,
so, and
you
it's
talk
all,
about
and according to this book, according to my book, the Melchizedekian order is the oldest priesthood in existence.
In the world.
Because it pre-existed before in the world.
In the
and
world.
And they've been underground. So concepts, a lot of concepts of monotheism, concepts of duality and the confusion of it, everlasting life, things of that nature came from this order. And I also am throwing in, you know, a few biblical accounts. Of course, you know, like the 3 magi, quote unquote, that visited Yeshua when he was a child, they were actually of the order of Melchizedek. So, I'm throwing a lot of biblical truths in there that people don't understand or they gloss over, and I'm putting it in this book.
Okay.
And so that, and it's going to take a while because, as you can see, there's a lot filled in. I have a lot of, you know, angel battles that are going on. I have a lot of, you know, there's going to be, you know, a lot
basically,
of.
Basically, you're going to try to desperately entertain us. So it's definitely going to be entertaining.
Yes, absolutely.
Some bobs, absolutely. Some weaves, some twists, because, and some turns.
Yeah, because I mean, I watch these angel movies. Like, they got one called Gabriel, they got one called Michael, they got another one dealing with you know, the prophecy, and they make angels look really screwed up. Then you've got this new thing that's coming out. Well, it's been out. It's called The Mortal Instruments, where these children are Nephilim. And they're supposed to mark themselves with these special sigils that stop demons. And I'm like, oh, see, y'all fucking it all up. Uh-uh.
I don't know, but Alan, I know he, like, watch movies and stuff like that. I got a bunch of shows. Like, my Hulu list is ridiculous right now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous right now. I ain't going front. I'm like, man, I got all kinds of shows up in here. And one of the ones I still kind of crack up over is Dominion. And have you seen Dominion?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I've heard of it, but I have not seen it. So give me what is the premise?
Well, basically, you have a chosen one who's supposed to make the change. He has these writings on his body that he inherited from his father. It's kind of passed down. He's like a living scroll, if you want to call it that.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's kind of slick. And on his body, I guess at certain times there's symbols that actually adjust and shift, and he actually has to decipher what they are.
That's kind of interesting.
Slick. Yeah, and it's about the angels that came down and they started the war on the final tribulation for us. Basically, they started that, and now mankind's basically trying to destroy itself, and they're trying to destroy us so they can get the father back because the father left. And they want him to come back. And they figure by just getting rid of us and clearing up this mess, we can get started and get back to talking to the Father again.
Wow. Humans are just bogus right now, huh?
So Gabriel's on the army trying to destroy. Michael's on the army to try to keep us alive. It's crazy, though.
Wow. I got to check that out. And see, there's a lot of that that's going on. And I also have an interesting sub-series that will connect with this, and I'm calling it The Ascendants because we're talking about the 144,000, right? And, of course, they're going to be specially marked, like a specially marked box of Kellogg's. But The Ascendants, they do have a glowing sigil that identifies them as, you know, their descendants are going to be part of the 144,000. And it's dealing with slaves, so of course they're going to be black slaves, you know, all over the world that have these markings, and they were hidden by certain keepers who, on paper and due to appearance, they are their masters, but really they're their protectors. Because at the end of the day, they're trying to kill them so the 144,000 does not come into being in the future.
Oh, okay.
I have that too. Yeah.
See, that's one thing, you know, I was on the Charles Tyler show last night, and he had talked about the artist there. There's an artist that he does this artistry work on the page, and he's really good. And I definitely have to get in contact with him. I can't think of his name. I'm so sorry about that. I can't remember his name right now. But I definitely like his artwork. And the funny thing is we need to get more animated, if you will. You know what I mean? We need to diversify in, like, the genre of stuff that we're doing. I want to see more animators, black cartoons, black imagery.
Well, you know what I want to see, and I'm glad that you do that because I'm a segue into my next point, is I'm into horror. I love H.P. Lovecraft. Stephen King's my boy. Dean Koontz, you know, Edgar Allan Poe, stuff like that. And, of course, there's a really big popular thing, and I do read Bram Stoker and Mary Shelley too. I do read those, and I, you know, when it comes to books with black authors and things like that, we kind of streamlined ourselves into, like, one genre, and it's dealing with the black struggle, or from what I've seen, or the philosophical musings of what it means to be alive and black, what we've been through, our history, and things like that. And that's fine. I don't see anything wrong with that. But where are our black Stephen Kings? Where are our black Edgar Allan Poes? Where are our black H.P. Lovecrafts? Where are our black Ray Bradburys? Where's our black Alfred Hitchcocks? Where are they? And it seems that Hollywood television and shows and music, they try to streamline us into this one area, which is really urban in a sense. But, you know, when we were talking about Star Wars, how people were petitioning Star Wars because, you know, it's not black enough, or they're getting rid of the black guy or something like that. It's like, but where are our black sci-fi writers? I know of one, and I forgot her name already. She got the H.P. Lovecraft Award for sci-fi and horror, and I've read some of her work, but I can't think of her name right now. One black woman, you know? One. You know, well, she's up there with Andre Norton and Mercedes Lackey and stuff like that, if anybody's into fantasy, you know,
well,
Tolkien and all that.
I mean,
and
we have a little bit,
but we never branch out
not,
to
we,
those
we
things,
should be diversified.
And I don't understand that,
that's
why.
That's what I'm saying. You see,
we don't have a black
thing.
Hollywood.
Well, we have it if we want it. Let's put it that way. If we want it, we have it. If we don't want it, we don't have it. And that's the problem. Because,
I mean,
you know,
we don't have a black Wes Craven, man. I know black. The only horror movies that had black people in it were Urban, Tales in the Hood. Come on now. Like, really?
Yeah.
You know, A Vampire in Brooklyn with Eddie Murphy. Like, come on. Come on now. Like, the only real, like, superheroes in comics are Blade and Storm and Spawn.
Blade is real. Yeah, that's Blade. I like Blade. That's what
Blade is the baddest in all. Spawn's all screwed up. They made him blasphemous because he unseated God in the series. And God looks like a short white woman with thick glasses. I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. Thanks. Thanks, Marvel. Appreciate it. That's awesome. You know.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, but it's like.
Like, that's
we
truly
don't
believable.
Have, and, you know, it's our own superheroes. You know, everybody wants. Like, okay. Like, this is how
well,
I feel about.
Well, some people
about,
are working
like,
on it. I got some cartoonists and some animes from Africa. There's a group of, I had them up here on their first shows and stuff. I put their links up there because they're trying to get money for their work. They've been working on this thing for like 10 years. And it looks pretty good, you know what I mean? It's not like the 3D stuff that a lot of people like nowadays, but you got to start somewhere, you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, it's just, the problem is it's so difficult, man. It's like, you know, our developers and many other different diversifications of life right now, it seems like people, we got a lot of talent and a lot of people inside the community. I know we do. If we just,
but we're not
unshackle ourselves unshackle ourselves from stuff that was, you know, back in the day, you know what I mean? We can do other things, you know, you can be an animator, you can actually be a designer, you can be,
you know,
all
yeah,
these other
you
things.
Can,
I mean,
you
know
can
I mean?
Do, you know, be part of the, you know, the Eight Nights of Horror or, you know, do they have these? And to me, I would think that with the struggles that we've been through as a people, we would be great horror writers, awesome horror writers. Because we've seen so much screwed up crap. We've seen so much shit. Like, we
well,
can blow your mind right now. You know what I mean?
Be,
and it's like,
be,
we
like,
don't.
Like, Saw should be something we wrote. I swear it should be. I,
yes,
like, I don't know why
exactly,
Saw wrote.
Yes, yes.
Saw should be something we wrote.
I mean, or Hostel, you know what I
well,
mean? Or
yeah,
Jason, you know what I mean? Because Jason, remind me, is just a horror version of Big Worm and Friday. You know what I mean? Or whoever played that bully in Friday. You know, all you have to do is slap a mask on him, throw a machete in his hand, you got Jason. Come on now. We deal with that. And I don't understand. It's like, and it's not like the horror writing industry is prejudiced. Trust me, I've been in a lot of writing circles. They're not. And I'm shocked at the scarcity of our people in those circles.
Like, well, see, that's the thing. That's what I think it was one of those Hollywood directors who does films. He's pretty, I forgot his name right now, but he was saying something about, he goes, he can't wait till a black man actually does the Vietnam movie or experience, who does it from Vietnam. He says that's when he says it's going to be the most realist and the truest of accounts. He said, and this is a white dude, he's real famous. He's like, that's when it's going to be real. And they're kind of waiting on us. I keep hearing people talk about there's so much racism and stuff, but there's a lot of doors of things that they just can't wait. You know what I mean?
A lot of them that this is what happened. There's been so much backlash of racism.
I'm like,
where
y'all
do you know what's, you know what it is? It's a trust issue, because there's been so much backlash on the race issue in Hollywood that when somebody out of Hollywood comes out and be genuine, like, yeah, we really want you to do this, we're like, nah, they full of shit. Nah, we ain't touching that.
I've lived in that environment. I've been there. I'm a Californian, and I know.
What I'm saying?
There's a thirst for stuff.
Thirst for it, but they can't trust it. But what's wrong with you publishing yourself? What's wrong with you doing your own thing, sans Hollywood, and then Hollywood be like, yo, we would like to do a movie. And I would like to do a movie of my book, too. That would be great.
That's the thing you've brought up now. Alan, my man, Alan is doing some marketing. Aren't you doing, Alan, marketing, some type of marketing, Alan? You trying to or something like that? Learning, developing, breaking it down?
I am. So you can hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when it comes down to stuff like that, you know, I've met quite a few, you know, people that are YouTubers now that actually have moved to Los Angeles, like off the bat of them doing YouTube. And, I mean, there's definitely a market for it. The problem is, number one, we need to do a better job at getting stuff out there. But number two, people need to do a better job at supporting it.
But if you really took it,
I feel like, and I'm not just trying to write this off as this, but I feel like unless a white man in particular green lights something and puts it in front of us, even if it's like a black director, we tend to not, you know, think it's
that's,
hot.
That's
okay?
true.
And
it's true.
And then, yeah, that's one thing. And then as far as the trust thing you just mentioned, when it comes to the paper, when you say trust, what you talk about is the paperwork. We can't trust that they won't take our stuff when they get the legal opportunity to do
right,
so.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what they've done in music, that's a perfect example, like Whitney Houston.
But at the same time, we also have shining examples of artists taking control of their own music, like Ray Charles and James Brown, and
that's right.
20 years of slavery.
Tyler Perry is a good example. I don't like his stuff, but he's a model. So this is what people need to think about. When you look at the overall industry as far as Hollywood, number one, it's interesting you mentioned horror, because horror is the cheapest medium. If you want to get started, create a movie that's good, but low budget, I mean, hell, the Saw movie.
Horror is it.
Yeah, and it doesn't take a lot to actually do low risk and make the money. It's actually something legitimately, you could legitimately crowdsource. You have somebody smart enough in it. Another avenue a lot of black directors can go in is the Tariq Nasheed route when it comes to documentaries. I think there's a lot of things that need to be told. And with things like Netflix, and I think it's a Netflix version, and I think a black woman is actually already created, there's ways to get stuff out in the way it wasn't before.
Right.
Other thing, and this is actually one of the biggest changes, is the rise of the international markets.
Right.
African Americans do not understand how valued and how looked up to we are in the world. If more of us really understood how, despite all the negative media, it's like an air war that just covers the sky in BS when it comes to African Americans, the way how they portray us, how much they actually do respect African Americans, where we come from.
Jazz had a bigger reception in Europe and in South America, and then it came back here.
Sam Smith and Adele is a perfect example of R&B in Britain and Europe and stuff like that.
Hip hop. I mean, there's Japanese hip hop. I've heard Japanese people freestyle in their language. They're doing it in Greece. They're doing it in Russia. Like, there's a lot of things that we do as black artists that are mimicked and emulated every day in those countries. And we're just indifferent to it.
Yeah, and the thing is, so I'll give you a perfect example. Straight Outta Compton was a perfect example of a movie. That movie made like over 300 and like, I think, 50 million domestically,
mm-hmm.
which is very, very big. Their Law in this is like the most profitable movie or money a movie's made by a black director. Here's the thing, though. They, on purpose, did not push that movie overseas. This is a movie that was put out in the heyday of the blockbuster period. Because I watch a lot of movies. I just watched Spectre. And they're talking about potentially making Idris Elba, you know, the next James Bond, by the way. But they took that movie and they purposely kept it overseas and from going overseas. And you know what the excuse was? The excuse was it's too hard R. Well, most of the time you they cut scenes. The scenes that really show TNA, they could easily have cut out and still put the movie out there and made the money.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. So you got to understand, if a movie makes $350 million domestically, that
you
movie
know it's high all over the world.
Hit, it can hit like 7, 8, if not 9. Hell.
Here's another thing, too, that I wanted to bring up. You brought up about Idris Elba becoming James Bond. Here's my take on it. And please understand, do not take this the wrong way. I don't exactly agree with a black James Bond, nor do I agree with a black Superman, because, for this reason, that's not what they were. That's not how they originally were, and we need to make our own superheroes. How would y'all feel if they had a white Blade?
Nah, man,
well,
I'm good. I want my own stuff. That's what I'm talking about. I don't care about that.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
They can keep that.
Ian Fleming did not have black people. I'm sorry. Ian Fleming did not have a black man in mind when he wrote James Bond. Dr. Zhivago is not black. He's Russian. Why do we have to always jump
on
heroes
James
with our
Bond
color when we create our own? It doesn't make sense to me.
But see, the James Bond thing, though, he could be either
no,
way.
No, he can't.
He could.
No,
yeah, he could.
He can't.
In a James Bond?
No.
Bond,
have you read the books? I've read the books. It doesn't work that way. You see what I'm saying? Why can't we create our own outside of James Bond?
No, we should. I got no problems with that. I got no problems. But I think he can pull a James Bond on this one.
No, I'm not saying that he can't pull it.
But
I'm saying it's not sending the right message for us as a people.
We got about six minutes left.
I definitely want to respond to that. So here's the thing. I think, number one, I don't agree with you on that front, but I will say this. This is what I will say. I think every black person has, like, if you look at all of, if you know a lot of superheroes and characters where you would say, I really don't think a black person could play that, I think everybody has that list. For example, I don't think Spider-Man, you know, they were talking about for a second making Spider-Man black.
Right,
that's
right.
That's not going to work. And the same thing that you feel about Idris Elba,
yeah,
and I'll admit, I haven't read the book, so I don't know. So you have a little bit more understanding than that. I've just seen the movies. But I will say, that mindset you have, I have the same mindset on Spider-Man, and I
do
agree with what you're saying as far as Superman. So you're not wrong saying that. It's just people, that's kind of apples and oranges, where people may have different opinions, and you can debate
know, it may turn out to be a beautiful result. I'm just seeing a trend for the sake of diversity. Let's change this character to black to satisfy diversity. And I'm like, no,
It's for money. Because here's the thing. Like Furious 7. Like, here's the thing. I always say Hollywood is like 80% about profit. Like, I actually think it's 70% about money and then 30% about propaganda. Because the reality of the situation is you have these movies like Furious 7 to where they diversified it and it makes so, so much more money. Universal is having a record year. And
they are.
Yeah, so when you're moving these movies overseas, when they're diversified, they make money. So even if you don't care about black people in the executive, and if you care about dollars and cents, you are seeing that. Exodus is another example in which it's the opposite. And that movie, they put $190 million plus another like $50 million of advertising.
And you already know with the Furious series, that shit shot up for two reasons. Dwayne The Rock Johnson and the death of Paul Walker. You know that skyrocketed their shit.
Yeah, and even the other ones were making money too, but the extra, that did help. But yeah, Dwayne, he's like you know, adrenaline for movies. But what I will say, as far as Idris Elba, I won't even talk about the James Bond thing. I feel like there's an effort. They don't want another Denzel Washington, another Will Smith. Somebody who can actually pick roles, control his destiny, and still be profitable for them.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because if you look at all these movies, like Joel, like all these like newer kind of actors they're starting to bring up, and they keep on trying them, but people aren't accepting them. Like, for instance, the dude that played the Die Hard, that played Bruce Willis's son in the latest Die Hard,
or
the dude that played in RoboCop, they're not hitting. And Chris Pratt is actually the one that they hit. They hit good. But they've been trying about six or seven of these fools, and when it comes to Idris Elba, they are not. Idris Elba is also saying there's certain roles he won't take.
Well,
so
here's another thing, too. Idris Elba did a breakout role that stereotypically would go to a white lead. What was that movie that he did where he played an escaped convict and he terrorized that woman in that house? What's that movie?
I forget what it was.
Man, I forgot it, but I saw it. Dude, he was so evil in that movie. You didn't
see it. We got a minute left.
Sorry. Yeah. But it was just, he took that role, that kind of role that he took was controversial and beautiful at the same time, because usually white men are placed in that serial killer, crazy, escaped convict bullshit, and he just turned it on his head, and people walked out like, damn.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Idris Elba is an international star, and the thing is, he's not just the United States. He would make buku money overseas.
Yeah.
Idris Elba has demonstrated that he will not do roles he doesn't believe in despite the money. I mean, he made a comment saying that he doesn't deal with African-American women because he feels like they don't have good enough self-esteem with it, because he wants to see them in their natural state and, like, you know, having natural hair and stuff like that.
Right.
So this is a black man that is proud. And what I'm saying, so is they don't like those types of men. Denzel was like that, although he played ball a little bit. Sam Jackson is like that. Although Sam Jackson plays ball a little bit, Idris is not doing
that. Well,
you got to
play a little bit of ball. And Quentin Tarantino, I have
to
say. We got to
shut it down. Brothers and sisters. Yeah, I'm sorry. The clock is ticking, and I want to make sure everything will work out right this time on this show. We're trying to get it right.
We should pick this up next time.
Next show. We have more to talk about, brothers and sisters. We're going to roll out with the track. This is something I've been working on. You guys hopefully enjoy it. Until later, peace and shalom.
black horror.